Frontstage Dramas presents Lived a Double Life to Rob the Rich. This week's Frontstage drama, Lived a Double Life to Rob the Rich, is a dramatization of a true life story of the same name, which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you at no extra cost as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Necessity is the mother of invention, runs the old adage, and it certainly must have inspired André Schwindenhauer to inventive genius. To get down to cases, André was a French vaudeville actor. And well, as everyone knows, vaudeville the world over has gone the same way as the old horse cab, the free lunch, silent pictures, and many a fine old institution that once gladdened the hearts of mother and dad. With vaudeville gone, André was faced with the cruel necessity of getting another job, saying goodbye to his chosen profession and going to work. But as we have said, necessity is the mother of invention, and André was one of her most inventive sons. He certainly invented a way to work, and it wasn't long until French detectives in the city of Lyon were in pretty much of a dither.
Now, monsieur, what is your excuse this time? Once again, we are faced with another daring jewel robbery. The first one this month. All the same plan, the Grand Hotel. All the circumstances are the same. And I suppose your answers are the same.
I regret to say, monsieur, I am baffled. Completely baffled.
Wonderful. Marvelous. For the fourth time in 1 month, over 100,000 francs worth of jewels are stolen right under your nose, and you are baffled. Bah, you were born baffled. And you, Inspector Renoir, what have you to say for yourself?
Mystified, monsieur. Positively mystified.
Mystified, monsieur. Albert baffled, and you, Monsieur Renoir, mystified. I suppose I should say I am mortified. We should all sit down and have a good cry together. And listen to me, monsieur. We are the laughing stock of every police prefecture in France. We are in complete disgrace with the biggest insurance company. The mayor and officials of the city are petitioning the Sûreté Nationale for a complete investigation. The tourist bureaus are up in arms because some of the very wealthy visitors have cancelled their visits, saying that they cannot give adequate police protection. Does that mean anything to you, monsieur?
Monsieur, what does that say? Will we take every precaution? We had Monsieur and Madame Martin swear that the doors and windows were all carefully locked.
Oui, monsieur. We had every hallway, corridor, and stairway patrolled night and day. No one had seen one single suspicious character prowling around.
Did you not yourself order special police disguised as porters, page boys, lift attendants, and waiters to work in the hotel for the past 2 weeks?
They have carefully watched and investigated every one of the hotel staff. And what do they find? Nothing.
Despite every precaution, another daring robbery occurred. I tell you, monsieur, I am baffled.
Yes, I know that. Now, monsieur, I am desperate. I am giving 48 hours to either clear up this case or bring me some substantial evidence that you are near a solution. Remember, monsieur, 48 hours. Now, allez, and don't call, visit me, or come back without results.
Twenty-four hours passed, still no clue, no development. 36 hours, and the story remained the same. 42 hours passed, and the telephone on the desk of the chief of detectives began ringing violently.
42 hours, and voila, they find the thief. Rule them with an iron hand, and one always gets results. Now we shall see. Monsieur Thériault speaking.
Monsieur Thériault, this is Mr. Albert. It has happened.
Ah, bon, you catch the thief, eh, Albert?
Catch him? No, monsieur. He's catch us. This is another robbery, monsieur.
That's for non, because what did you say?
Monsieur, another 200,000 francs, Mr. Thériault. An American jewel collector at the hotel drawn again. Just 1 hour ago, his entire collection valued at 200,000 francs. Look at this. Monsieur, I am baffled.
Monsieur, you are discharged. Remain there until I come over. Keep everybody under close guard. No one must enter or leave the hotel until I arrive. And make a complete investigation. Place a full guard around the hotel. Guard every floor. I will be there immediately. Now, monsieur, tell me precisely what has happened. You, Monsieur Tomato.
Well, I'm a jewel collector. I've been on a buying trip for several of my American clients. I stopped off here to see them a real collection last night. Picked out several pieces, a bracelet, two necklaces, and four rings. This morning, after the banks were opened, I arranged the payment. Then Monsieur LaRose brought the jewels to my room. They were locked in a case, placed in my traveling bag, and when Monsieur LaRose and I left for lunch, I carefully locked my room. We were gone just over an hour. When we returned, the case was lying on the floor. It had been broken open. Jewels were gone.
And there was no one in Lyon except yourself and Monsieur LaRose. We knew of your mission here.
But the president of the Bank of Lyon, who arranged for the transfer of the funds.
I see. During Monsieur LaRose's visit to this room, when he gave you the jewels, you were both alone. No one entered the room.
No one.
I see. Was there anyone in your room besides yourself during the morning?
No one except the maid who cleaned up the room. She knew nothing of my business here. In fact, she impressed me as a sort of simple country girl. I broke a button off my shirt just before I tied my tie, and very kindly sewed it on for me. But I'm sure the maid is above suspicion.
Albert, this maid, you know her?
Yes.
She has been in the streets of Lyon.
Oh, oui, monsieur, every moment. She's a simple Provençal girl from 2 years ago. She is slightly,
Nevertheless, I will see her. Send her in.
Mm, certainly, monsieur. She's outside. I'll get her.
Well, monsieur, Mademoiselle Dadine. Mademoiselle, how long have you worked here?
3 months, monsieur.
And you came here for your home in Villiers-le-Bois?
Oui, monsieur. From the farm of my father. We have 12 children. 8 girls, 4 boys. Too many girls for a farm. We'd both two boys work for him. So I leave my room. Yes.
Now, that's enough. You answer the questions as I give them to you. Do you have any gentlemen friends?
Oh, no, monsieur. But I like to have them.
No doubt. Well, take her out and have her thoroughly searched, Albert.
Monsieur,
there is a police matron across the hall, you stupid donkey.
Oh, monsieur.
Albert, see that the matron searches her from head to foot. And when she is finished, report back to me.
All right, take her away, monsieur.
Allez, monsieur.
I don't see why you're taking all those precautions with such a simple country girl. She's so stupid she couldn't tell the difference between a piece of window glass and a precious stone.
So, you think she's a stupid country girl, eh? Well, monsieur, you may be right. As for myself, I don't think she's stupid. I don't think she's from the country or even a girl. And I'm going to investigate myself.
A great joke,
Madame Bourdard.
Maybe. These days, no one can tell who is honest and who isn't. But she certainly does not look like a guilty.
Of course not. But these days, Monsieur le Prefect is so suspicious. It wouldn't surprise me if he arrested the statue of Napoleon in the marketplace. Orders are orders. So, go ahead, Madame. Call me when you want to meet.
Okay, woman. Sit down, Monsieur. Be quiet and do that till I am coming. You will blow your head off in the street, Bob.
Okay, you are not even.
Well, I'll catch you too. Stand up, sir. I'm going to bind and gag you and meet you on hand. Will you come to me? Quick now.
Madame
Fouard,
you
said you were
the man?
You know I'm the man.
Madame Fouard, you hear me?
Do you, monsieur? I am undressing her and examining each garment carefully. If you think it is time, monsieur.
Adieu, madame. It's all I want to know.
Patiently, the prefect of police and his staff waited for the police matron, Madame Fouard, to finish her examination of the maid. But the minutes ticked by and no sound came from the room. After a half hour passed, the police pounded on the door, received no answer. They tried to open the door and found it locked. They secured a pass key and opened the door.
There, you fool, what did I tell you? One time, Madame Fouard, take that dog off her mouth. Hurry, the thief already has a big start on us. Take the dog off first. That's it. Yes. Now, madame, what does this mean?
Just leave, monsieur. She's not a maid, but a man. The moment we were alone,
He drew a revolver, threatened to blow my head off if I uttered a sound. What should I do? He made me talk to you when you knocked on the door.
Yes.
When you had gone, he bawled and dragged me and went out that window. Turned around the ledge and was gone.
All right, quickly, spread an alarm throughout the city, the province. That the thief, he must be captured. What is going on here?
Well, I'm Monsieur the Prefect. Here is your prisoner.
What?
I found her, him, Monsieur.
Ben.
We're in a cafe just a few blocks from you.
But
he sent me out to call on a phone broker to look for some of the stolen jewels. I stopped him at the cafe in the noir, and sitting in the back, I see the blonde head of Mademoiselle. What? I noticed her hair is crooked.
You saw so?
So I draw my revolver and steal up to her. Quickly, I snatch off the blonde hair, and voila, what do I find? Monsieur André Schwindelhauer, the flower of our shop, the famous female impersonator. Monsieur, I am
baffled. No, I know, but I was not. The size of his hands and feet made me suspicious.
Still, I am baffled, because Monsieur André was once a big star. Often I see and enjoy his vaudeville performance in the old days at the Palais de Variété. But Monsieur has fallen on evil days. No more vaudeville, no more work. Soon his money's all gone. So he turned to this. A jewel thief.
Well, see, it looks as though you French detectives will have to change your famous motto.
Monsieur La Femme, find the female.
Yes, find the female impersonator.
Yes, André Schwindelhauer, once a star female impersonator, billed as the flower of Alsace, used his peculiar talents to become one of the cleverest of French jewel thieves. He admitted that he found robbing the rich the most satisfying act he had ever saved. But the long prison sentence he drew soon changed his viewpoint. You have just heard Lived a Double Life to Rob the Rich, a radio dramatization of a true life story of the same name, to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you at no extra cost as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Join the millions of Americans who each Sunday find the maximum of reading enjoyment in the entertaining, educational, and up-to-the-minute stories, articles, and feature fiction by the world's best writers to be found in every issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed each Sunday with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. Frontage Dramas present Gold is Where You Find It. This week's Frontage Drama, Gold is Where You Find It, is a dramatization of a feature article entitled Surprising Stories for People Who Don't Believe in Luck, which appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you at no extra cost as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. In this front-page drama, we are presenting three sample cases of people who during the past year have received a lucky break. Something did turn up, settling once and for all the arguments advanced by conservative skeptics who stoutly maintain there is no such thing as luck. In every case, the people we present are hard-working, honest souls, trying their best to better themselves, but having no success until their lucky break comes along. Let's look at our first case. A hard-working farmer in the hills of Virginia, not far from the nation's capital. In the little kitchen at breakfast, he is talking with his wife.
Well, Mother, there doesn't seem to be any answer. I guess I have to plug along and hope for the best.
But, John, that may be tomorrow. He ought enough to pay the interest, never mind the principal. As you know, Mrs. Tompkins has made it very definite that he won't renew it.
He can come and take the place over. He's welcome. I can't make a living of it. He can have it.
So where can he go? What can he do? We've worked this farm for 37 years.
Now, don't worry.